You know, Christ was, it was interesting what unfolded here in this little setting right there. John came to him. It was quite obvious that there was somebody doing something that wasn't ordinary. It was really out of the box work that the disciples thought this fellow should be doing. He was casting out demons in his name, and the disciples took it upon himself to forbid him. You remember when the parents brought their children to Jesus and they run them off, said, you know, he's too busy to fool with them. You know, he chided them for that and had the children brought back. There were several incidents where the disciples took it upon themselves to see that everything, that things were done correctly and that Christ needed to be protected and guarded. I think it covers today in today's society as well. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's an elder in a Presbyterian church, and he and his minister have gotten together and decided that they needed to decide on what is acceptable and what's not. And I told him, I said, well, it sounds like you're trying to protect God and the Bible. I said, don't you think God's been protected for thousands of years and the Bible is too? We wouldn't have either one of them today. Well, he was trying to second guess me, and I said, please don't get clever with me. I'm the one with the master's degrees and everything. He shut up after that, you know. I mean, sometimes people will get downright obnoxious with things. And I think that the disciples did that to a degree. They were forsaking grace for something else. You know, several years ago, the late Pope John Paul II sat in a prison cell near Rome, Italy, speaking to an inmate. John Paul then reached out and took the hand that had held the gun meant to have assassinated him and uttered a word of forgiveness. Well, that is what is called true grace in itself. I don't know how many of us, if somebody tried to take a shot at us, I don't know if we would be that forgiving or reconciling, but John Paul II was. In a world of competition and violence, is it possible to be able to speak a word of grace? Yes, it is. It is. We don't have to follow what the media says. We don't have to follow what a politician says. We don't even have to follow what some church leaders say. We have the power called grace already in us to make the world a better place. And we are guided by the Holy Spirit to do so. And so sometimes the question may arise that if God is a sovereign God, why doesn't God straighten this or that problem out or just randomly do things? However, the fact is that God is sovereign and could be better thought that God's sovereignty is like self-control in a person. A lot of times we are out of control and we need to remember it's better to be under self-control if possible. A person who is self-controlled is someone who doesn't lash out or react negatively to another person, but behaves out of consideration and love. So God's sovereignty is more than self-restraint. It's something more than even anything we can imagine. But one thing we know for sure, God is not an ogre or a tyrant in heaven seeking to smite whoever he desires here on earth. That's not the way God works. But thinking of God as sovereign means that God is self-controlled and consistent in all things. That makes the actions of God to be balanced as only a just and fair God could behave. God functions in a way that we can understand and is at work in this world, not distant nor aloof. Regardless of what we hear and read in the newspapers or hear on the radio, God is still in control of our world. It looks like it's crazy, but God still is very much in charge. God works to overcome evil not by exercising muscle power, but by expressing His highest quality of standards through divine holiness, mercy, and love. God could have knocked evil for a loop long time ago, but He chose rather to express power by overcoming evil with the manifestation of good. Any thinking person looking at evil for what it is and then view God for what He represents should say, I'll go with God any time. You know, God's method of overcoming evil then is to manifest God's superior quality of grace and mercy in us. Now, it follows that Christ would overcome evil with good. Christ would not conquer evil by exercising superior authority, but by expressing his divine love. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he was betrayed, he was talking to the disciples, and he told them that he could call for 12 legions of angels to rescue him and to destroy his enemies. That would be exercising supreme authority. But Christ chose rather to demonstrate mercy and grace. Christ's love absorbed our hostility unto himself. Now get personal, I don't think I would have done it that way. I would have called for those 12 legions of angels and come in and swept all my enemies away. But Christ took the higher road. And it's better to take the higher road if possible. Well, you'll say, preacher, you don't know what I go through every week on something. But you know what? That's when your faith should hold on to God closer than it ever has been. God will see you through everything. God will never turn his back on you, and that is a promise. You know, the children of Israel, I thought, make a great witness for us today. Remember when they left Egypt, they were celebrating, they'd ransacked everything in Egypt because God said, you know, they took jewels and all kinds of treasures of Egypt, and they were happy as larks heading toward the Red Sea. But guess what? Pharaoh's army was right behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. They were between a rock and a hard place, or a rock and a Red Sea. What were they going to do? They started screaming at Moses, why'd you take us away from our homes? For we had fresh vegetables every day. We had a good life. Short-term memory, isn't it? They were slaves in Egypt, get the whip every day. Yet they thought they would have preferred it over facing obstacles like the Red Sea because they did not have the confidence in God that they should have. And in fact, in some places, sometimes Moses was even threatened with his life. And you know, looking back, and I'm sure Moses for a second saw the army of Pharaoh coming toward them and the waters of the Red Sea in front of him. And you know, Moses, I don't know if his faith doubted, but that's when Moses' faith really kicked in. And that's when he took his staff and he told the children of Israel, see the salvation of the Lord. And well, you know what happened from there. The Red Sea parted and they walked over 2 million people or three walked on dry land in the middle of a bed of water that was not there. It was a wall on each side. God made sure that those Israelites made it through from Egypt into the Sinai. Now, through the centuries, the Israelites turned their backs on God numerous times. And as I said, they had selected memory loss because they did not realize how God has gotten them through so many things. And it's the same thing for us. Do you ever face an obstacle and say, oh, am I going to get through it or not? And you find out later on, God walked me through it. And it was an amazing result that came out of it. So don't give up on God. God will be there for you in all things. Don't ever let people or books or whatever say that God has abandon you, or God is an abstract God. God is not an abstract God at all. You know, Christ took God's love to its very extreme in that he expressed that love even at the cost of his own life. That's what he did for us. Ours is not a calling to be persons who seek power over other people. We must avoid manipulating, intimidating, and dominating others as if they were our private property. Love means that we open our lives to others and share it with them. Sometimes it means they may be a little different than we are, like that fellow in here that was casting out demons. Now, we don't see that much anymore, But there may be some quirks there. I mean, when I was younger in the ministry, and I was down in Coral Gables, Florida, and I was a little less tolerant then. I had a person come to my church, and he was a Pentecostal and everything. Well, at that time, I had not been around Pentecostals, and he almost started speaking in tongues, and I picked a hymn book up, and I threatened to hit him with it. I'm glad I didn't. Since then, I have worked with many Pentecostals, and I have a deep respect for them. But I said, I'm glad God intervened and changed my thought, because there are wonderful people out there. They may not be Presbyterians, but hey, they're doing God's work at the same time. So all because somebody may not dot the same I and cross the same T with you, doesn't mean they're bad or they've fallen from grace. By no means. We can get along and work with anyone if we have the grace of God in us. Love does mean that we open our lives to others and share it with them. There is in our world today a need for a new awareness that God's work is a message of grace. And grace equals quality living. Each of us should ask the question, what may I accomplish as an individual, as one individual? Well, if every person took seriously the principle of overcoming evil by doing good, we could change society for the better and enrich it. You know, we get shortchanged. Sometimes people get real snappy with us, or they tell us things that aren't true about ourselves, and we end up getting our feelings hurt. That is something that we all need to pray about. And if somebody has done that to you or insulted, and I'm telling you this because it happened to me and all that, you need to pray for those people because they're misguided. I don't know what brings it into their minds like that, but that is overcoming evil with good by praying for them and ask that God's grace will be a blessing and shower up on them. Because that person needs God in their lives. And we do it because of commitment in our own lives to the highest ideals and biblical principles to which God calls each of us. See, a lot of people think our faith is a Sunday morning thing where we sit in pews. That's not the way it goes. Our Christian lives begin when we leave this sanctuary and we go out in the world. That's where the rubber hits the road. And we should remember that. That yes, you're coming here to be recharged for the week. But to get out there, hey, that's a scary thing. Because you don't know who you're going to encounter. But you know as well as I do what I just said. If God is for you, who can be against you? That is the marvelous thing about God. There is a serene comfort to know that people worldwide are united under grace through Jesus Christ. You know, an example of unity may be carried through as we prepare our hearts and minds to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next week for World Communion Sunday, as we join millions of other Christians throughout the world. Yes, they may be in a different time zone, but it's coordinated to where all Christians throughout the world, at least a good majority of them, will be celebrating this sacrament. So remember that we are not sheep who are gone astray. We are not alone. We're not hermits. We are people who God cares for. And that's what counts in living the life that God wants us to live. So when you think about this week, and if you're faced a crisis, whether it's with people or maybe health or finance or whatever it is, just remember this, God's going to get you through that. God's going to get you through that, and God's promised so. If he got the Israelites out off the banks of the Red Sea into the promised land, you know God can take care of us with some of our problems, don't you think so? So keep that in mind as you begin a new week, and God will see through to it. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes in our lives, we're not quite sure where to turn to. We should turn to you, but we think we can fix it ourselves. Help us and guide us, oh, Lord, and declare your almighty power chiefly in showing us mercy and pity, and grant us the fullness of your grace, that we running to obtain your promises may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.